Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Well, today, in the month of November, actually, I've been going, rather than being in a series, I'm just kind of taking some little nuggets the Lord's put in my heart that I would share with you. We're going to go to Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to find out some things there that I think will be helpful to us, that the Lord is just really is taking us to a place of understanding that, you know, hopefully it'll be good for you. We'll read the response. You'll get the responding verses behind me. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son. Aren't you glad you didn't get that verse? All right, verse 2 is yours. Go ahead. It says, and then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, and now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You look for much, but indeed it came to little. When you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruins, while everyone of you runs to his own house.
Therefore, the heavens above you will hold the dew, and the earth will hold its fruit.
Verse 11 together. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine and the oil, and whatever the ground brings forth, on men, on livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, today will be kind of a confronting situation, but not for the point of causing doubt or mercy or causing guilt to arise, but Lord, to bring us to consider our ways. Lord, is it as we think it is, or is it a direction you're taking us? And Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would just take us to a place where we perhaps haven't been for a long time, or maybe have never been, to a place where we can be in total unity and total lockstep with your purpose of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, be the director of all that I say today, and I'll give you all the praise and the honor and glory, for I pray all these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said,
amen.
Before you're seated, I want you to take your hand, put it over your heart, and go like this. Repeat after me these words. It's my fault.
It's my fault.
You may be seated. He said, what did I just do? He talked me into it. I think this is not rather condemning, but it's rather revelatory. Because I believe there in where we are this time in history, there's a lot of things going on about people blaming the other party. How about this? It should come to no surprise to you that in Congress and personal interactions with our peers or family members, that there's no lack of blame or finger pointing by those who refuse to take responsibility for the lack of forward mobility or prosperity, reaching goals or increase of resources in today's world. Simply this, there will always be something or someone to blame for our failure to achieve success that we believe we're entitled to. I'll send you a copy. Because I don't think you'll get it in one reading. But I will tell you this much, that it's time for us to reconsider our ways. And here's the three things I think that we can even look at in this scripture. Number one, are you willing to take an honest look at where you are headed as it relates to the things of the kingdom of God? Have you? Consider your ways. And this was a tough message for me to preach. I'm thinking, I can't preach this without taking an assessment on my own life. How about number two? Can you honestly say that your lifestyle and choices are in direct alignment with what Jesus would want you to do? Did you hear that word there, direct alignment? Well, number three is not any better, so hang on. Does it seem difficult to maintain the proper focus on priorities that will reflect your relationship with the Lord in your everyday life? Wow. I know you wish you stayed home, but it's too late now. I took down a few statistics, and the reason why I'm reading them now, because I think it will just help you to come to a place where this hasn't been without research or without some contemplation. Because I think some things that we don't, we have the whole world pegged a little bit differently than we should. A couple of things you need to know. Do you know that 47% of people right now on this planet do not have any type of worldview or relationship as far as the Bible is concerned or as far as Jesus is concerned? 47%. What? Sunday school, things that you know about Sunday school, they have no clue. But here's the good news. But they want to know. Here's some simple statistics. Few Americans like being sinners. I'll say this. First of all, it says these particular opportunities for them to sign on to these particular things. One says, I am a sinner, and I'm fine with that. 5%. I'm a sinner, and I'm working on that. 34%. I'm a sinner depending on Jesus to overcome that in my life, 28%. I'm not a sinner, 8%. Sin does not exist, 10%. I prefer not to talk about it, 15%. You know, the idea is that people have all kinds of ideas. They're all over the map as far as sin is concerned. But the Lord is talking to his people. And I'll give you a little background on this. The people of Israel, they had come out of captivity. They'd been out of captivity for about 16 years. And so during that time of peace or whatever it was, they got to a place of complacency and they forgot all about what bondage was all about. And they started just kind of going their own way, doing their own thing. They forgot about God. They forgot about what they'd been delivered from. They just kind of said, I think I'll build myself a house. I'll do this. I'll do that. It sounds pretty much like where many of us are today. Let's just dive into this and see what we can find. Before we can change the world, we must change our ways. Somebody say amen. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. Here we go. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, look at that word there, daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his own life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? You've heard it before, but you know something? I don't think we really believe that because our lifestyle doesn't reflect it, or some lifestyles don't reflect it. I won't put everybody in the same place. Consider this. We must stop and evaluate and take a look at our life and where we're headed. That means we must take time to evaluate our life and see where are we going? Ever got in the car and just drove? You're crazy if you do it in Portland nowadays because you ain't going to get far anyway. Right now, we try to avoid driving. But there was back in the days, there was something you used to have when I was a kid, the Sunday afternoon drive. Get in the car and just drive and go out and see things, No. You better have a destination you're going to, GPS, and anything else you can get on board to try to get there, okay? But what about this? The idea behind this is the key elements We must give an account for all the deeds that are done in our body. It's not like we're just kind of this automaton or whatever. We're just kind of, wherever I go, I don't know what's driving me, but I get there and it's all okay. No, it's not. We have to give an account for all the things that are being done in our body. And the Holy Spirit holds us accountable to that. And that being the case, we will always find time for the things we really want to do. Oh, it's going to get rough in here, y'all. Because right now you're doing what you want to do. And thank God you wanted to come to church today. But I'll tell you what, that wasn't always the case with some folks. And now I'll take a little reflection on this in a few moments of our even our perspective on that. What about this? Well, we will always find time, or we must learn to take responsibility for what we call priorities. What is a priority? Well, we often get our preferences confused with priorities. We prefer to do certain things, but we move them from, you know, preferences to priorities. But what we prefer. And the things of God have taken a back seat. How do I know that? Being in Portland all of my life, I've lived in Portland all of my life, and I've seen how the whole culture and climate of people has changed. Regardless of all the bad things you can say about City Hall and the way that, you know, urban growth and blah, blah, blah. Let's put that aside for a moment. But the priorities right now, we have some people in City Hall that they've got some priorities. They want to have more bike lanes. Aren't you happy about it? More bike lanes for the bikers. Chew on that a while. Any process that does not begin with Jesus will end up in disappointment. I'll tell you that. And for us as believers, any process we start that doesn't begin with Jesus, you're going to be disappointed. But if you start with Jesus as the focus of what you're doing, it's going to be okay. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect, but it's going to be okay because you gave him consideration in the first place. Because if Jesus doesn't want you to do it, you don't do it. Makes it easier. Never thought of that, about that. We kind of ask God after everything, all the wheels fall off the cart. I mean, those people do, not you. No, no, no. How about this one? Our procrastination is often driven by our rebellion against what we know God requires of us. Oh, I'll send you the notes because you may need them. Our procrastination is often driven by putting off the things that God requires of us. Yeah, I'm going to get to that. I know I should be reading. I know I should be praying more. You know, I'm going to put that into my schedule. How are you doing with that? Well, our progress as a believer is more than effort. Is more than the effort we put forth. We must choose to give priority to the right things. Here's the question. What are the right things? I think we're confused with that. And I think our thinking has been colored by assumptions that we have that people don't want to hear about Jesus, so we don't say anything. And we're moving further into isolation because of the things that, I'll give you a couple of things that have happened in our culture within the last couple of years. Because it is now the law of the land that same-sex marriage is okay. And I might want to tell you this, in the polls that have been given, this is over the entire nation, Christian and non-Christian, 67% of people are in favor of that. Huh? Did nobody ask me? That's not the point. And so that becomes the enemy focus. And we forget it, and so the only thing we're doing, we know what we're against. That's not going to get the job done. We have to know who we're for. And we have to know that we're for Jesus as far as that's concerned. And you know what? Jesus loves people that are in same-sex marriage as much as he loves you in a regular marriage. He loves those people. But somehow we've got it in our mind that, the wrath of God's going to come down and he's going to kill them. Well, maybe that could happen at some point. Everybody's going to be judged. But the point of it is, we don't have a focus. If we're just focusing on all the wrong things that people do, we won't get the job done. We won't get the job done. Well, there's more. Progress is often misplaced effort. Is often misplaced effort if it does not benefit the things of the kingdom of God. So what are you, in the kingdom of God, what are you putting your emphasis toward? Well, what do you mean? There's more. It means that procrastination is often a display of our unbelief of the importance of obedience to the Word of God. When we obey the word of God, the first commandment is to love your neighbor, you know, to love people. Love God with all your soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are two. If you're loving God like you should, and if you're loving your neighbor as yourself, and you find your neighbor is in error, wouldn't it seem reasonable that you want to pray for them, encourage them, and love them into the kingdom? Amazing. We must come into agreement with God's timetable for current events. Now, the people of Haggai's day, they were delusional. I'll tell you why. They're delusional with their assessment of the times that they were living in. And this is how it worked out. The key element of the blocking their progress was laziness and denial of their role in promoting the things of the kingdom. They're in denial. And you know what they did? Is they started, they were supposed to come back to the place of Israel, and they're supposed to rebuild the house of God. You know what they did? They built their own houses. Oh, yes, they did. They built their own careers, their own jobs, their other type of thing, and they left the house of God totally desolate. I'm going to give this to you in very practical terms. As time goes on, our emphasis will not be on the house of God, and this is not a plea for you to do anything other than the fact of you to consider your ways and realize, if I call myself a believer, why are so many of the things in my life not in consistency with the things of God? They're inconsistent. I love God, but, you know... And you even got the Bible on your phone. Some of you have the nerve to put it on your phone and still don't read it. But I got it on my phone. But the only time we use it is when we're in an argument. No, he didn't say that. And you got to go through the little fast find situation because you have no idea where it is in the Bible. I know conviction is roaring in this place. That's the only time we use it. Oh, Jesus. Well, our occupation with things that we desire will always push the things of the kingdom into the background. The work of the kingdom should always be our first priority. You know this scripture really well. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Leave that out there for a moment. The most profound promise ever is in that verse. You say, what? You know what it's saying? That if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything that you need, God will add it to your life. Read it with me. But all, not some. Everything you need, God will add it to your life, and you don't have to go scrounging, manipulating, do all that kind of stuff to get it there. God will take care of it. Because you're not that smart anyway. We must lay aside all excuses for sidelining the things of the kingdom for our own personal choices. I'm going to do that. As soon as I get this thing done over here, I'm going to really work for Jesus. I'm going to leave it alone because I could get stuck there, okay? The house of the Lord should never suffer lack because of our refusal to allow it to have its place of prominence. Now, this is not a commercial, but it could be. Oh, I'm going to make it one. There are many opportunities for us to serve in the body of Christ. And they mentioned ushers and that other type. And that's great. But you know what? If we're really seeking the kingdom of God, there will not be you'll have to be on a wait list to really serve in the house of God. There should never be a lack of anything that's necessary in the house of God. You hear what I'm saying? That's if we're really seeking first the kingdom of God. But for us right now, we say, well, you know, I just don't feel in my spirit that's what I should be doing. I mean, I'm really more occupied with other things, and I'm just waiting for the Lord to lead. Lord done led you a long time ago. Get the lead out of you know where and get busy. In Jesus' name, amen. We can gauge the condition of our heart toward the Lord by the priority that we will give to the things that promote the things of the house. What's the priority? And we'll tell you all the reasons why we can't. Find a reason why you can. Find a reason. Well, what we treasure will truly be reflected in our choices for involvement. Matthew 6:21, you'll love this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What does that mean? I'm going to give you three things I wrote down here that'll help you figure it out, because some of you don't get it. So here we go. Number one, check your online log of websites. What? Now, this is funny. We were backstage a few moments ago. I'm not going to tell on who it was, but it would happen. There was about six or seven of us there. Four of them were on their phones. Four. It was all about Jesus. I know it was. It was all about. Oh, I got something for you next week that'll blow your mind about that whole thing. Stay tuned. But anyway. That's not down on anybody. It could have been something spiritual. They were looking up, you know, something. I don't know. Anyway. But for you, check your online log of websites. And the thing is so diabolical now is you can do it on your phone. You don't have to go home and sit in front of a computer. Just pull up your phone. How about this? Examine your purchases on your bank app. Pull up your bank app and say, oh, what, did I spend that much on that? Oh, my God. Oh, dear Jesus. Then pull up the same app that has how much you gave to Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's getting ugly in this house today. Because we are out of balance. Well, we'll buy ourselves anything. You're not smiling. And I still got one more. Tally the time you spent on binge watching on Hulu, Netflix, and the regular cable shows. All you sports guys, look at me. Some of you will cut your phone off, pull the blinds, this type of thing, because when football's on, you are in another land. And I got to finish my sermon in time, because there's a football game on today. Some of you, if he ain't done by then, I'm out of here. Oh, come on, work with me, people. And I'll tell you what, you watching that game is not going to change the score one bit. I'm going to help you today. God may want you to pray with somebody if you stay here for a while, but I don't know. You got to sit up there, plop back in the chair, eating more than you should eat, and you're there like, you play that? You yell yourself hoarse and can't get you to say Jesus in here. I'm going to help you get saved to consider your ways, because it's not adding up. Whew. That's his name. I know I am going to preach it today. God bless you. Because you know what? I've had enough. God's had enough. Go back to Haggai verses 5 through 7. Here he goes. Now therefore consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. Let me stop there for a moment. Some of you have been to all the good restaurants in town and still looking for another one. That was good, but it wasn't as good as that place over there. You know? And some of your Epicurean delights. It's crazy. Well, I'm going to leave it alone for a minute. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. You'll never be warm because every fashion comes out, you've got to buy it, but that's okay. And he who earns wages to put them in a bag with holes in it. in America now, there's a lot of things happening. I want to tell you something about, you know, somebody say, well, you know, since President Trump's been in office, the Dow level's gone up from, you know, from 1900 to 20, almost 2500 or whatever it happens to be. And you know what? That's an illusion. It's not nothing against Donald Trump. He thinks he made it happen. God bless him. Well, enjoy. Okay. But you know what it's done? It's given a false security to folks on finances. Do you know, in the history of the United States, we have less money now in savings than we've ever had in the history of the United States. Because everybody is relying upon what they've got in their 401k in their retirement account. And all it will take is one blip of the market and all y'all be looking for bridges to jump off of. Am I making it plain today? Because you're resting upon things that cannot last. The kingdom of God is forever. The things of this earth are just for now. Well. We must own up to our personal indulgences in the things that we want as opposed to promoting the things of the kingdom. Now, we must honestly evaluate the priority we place on the things of the spirit as opposed to things of the flesh. Prayer is something that some people do religiously, and I thank God for that. I pray every morning, I read the Bible every morning. But is it just a ritual? Is it just a check-off to make you feel good? What if God wants you to stay another 15, 20 minutes? Oh, I can't do that. Here we go. Our allotment of time invested in the house of God should be examined. Now, there was a time, and this is going after the juggler, so y'all just hold yourself real carefully now. There was a time in our culture where for young people, they did not have any type of sports games or activities on Wednesday nights or on Sundays. That time is over. They have all their tournaments on weekends and especially on Sundays. And you know what? We as a church have gotten caught up into it.
Say, oh, my son's going to be in the NBA, and he's got to practice.
Really?
He's going to be in the NFL. That's how he's going to take care of me when I'm old.
You are crazy. But we get this kind of thing in our mind, and it's not against the kids. But we don't realize what has happened is the world is dictating to us how our life should be, and it's taken away all the priority of God has gone out the window. Well, if that's when they have, I guess that's the only time we're going to do it. Oh, really? I knew we'd get quiet here on that one.
I remember there were times, and this is nothing to say about culture, but there was a time when once a week wasn't good enough.
Oh, Jesus. Come to a Bible study on Wednesday night. Oh, yes, got to go there. Just and not only for the fellowship, but to learn all the Word of God and, you know, come on a Sunday night for just to encourage one another. Don't even think about it. And it's not just us. It's everybody's pretty much gone that route. Can I ask why? Well, this is so... And the traffic. The traffic is just horrible. And the time that it takes to get here and this type of thing. And just after work, and just coming to another Bible study.
If your favorite person was playing at the Coliseum or at the Moda Center, you would jump over a thing and you will wait. Matter of fact, you will wait for 45 minutes to get into the place to park your car. And after it's over with, there's another 45 minutes to get so you can get on the freeway. An hour and a half to do nothing, but you saw what you wanted to see.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Y'all pray for me now because I feel some cold spirits in the house. I'm sure you saw it on the news. It was very heartwarming to me. There was a gentleman. He and his dad were out doing some hunting, and they run off the road. And so it was a little bit of snow on the ground. It wasn't totally snowed out. But this man, in order to save his dad, he says, "Dad, you stay here." And there's no cell signal up there, so he walked 22 miles. To get help to get his daddy out of the car. When we have somebody that we really love, and really, we will make sacrifices. It's not going to be too snowy. It's not going to be too cold. If we really love that person's there, we're going to do whatever it takes because we love them to make things all right. And it worked out fine. But some of us, we said, well, Dad, you know, maybe your time. We don't know. You made a good run at it. Help us, Lord. But that's where we come to. I may be back, I may not. Jesus, help us. Lord, have mercy. The kingdom of God must take priority over our kingdom. No one cheats the Lord without cheating himself at the same time. You think you got over on God? You're cheating yourself. Furthermore, every increase we receive is a result of the blessings of God on your life. If you're making more money now, if your business is booming at this particular point, I want to tell you right now, you didn't do it. God did. You say, I just knew how to market things, and I'm just really a smart person. I know how to leverage things. You're stupid. God gave it to you. He gave you the wisdom, gave you the intellect, gave you the opportunity, and you need to start honoring God for what he's done. Pull your chest back in, fella. Dissatisfaction is I love this one. You'll like this, okay? Maybe you won't. I don't know. Dissatisfaction is the result of our inability to enjoy the fruit of our labor because of our refusal to recognize the source of our blessing. When I was just sitting in my office, these things just started coming, so bless his name. God will allow calamity to come to our attention toward the things in our life. Amos chapter 4, verse 6 through 10. This is amazing. Also, I gave a cleanness of teeth in all our cities, the lack of bread in all of our places. Yet, you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Go a little bit further. I also withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months on the harvest. I made it rain on one city. I withheld rain from another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, in that part withered. A little bit further. That's right. Okay. So two of the three cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Last few verses. I blasted you with blight and mildew. When your gardens increased, your vineyards, your fig trees, your olive trees, the locusts devoured them. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Last verse. I sent you a plague after the manner of Egypt. Your young men I killed with a sword. Along with your captive horses, I made the stench of your camps come into your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Huh? What's going on? All you heard about global warming, haven't you? Wait a minute. Anybody have not heard about global warming? I got a better one. Global warning. God is warning us. Amen. With all the things he's allowed the enemy to do, if we can't figure it out from here, there is no way we will ever get saved. And we respond pretty well to tragedies in various places and get all these things going on. But you know, it's a matter of a few weeks and we're back to exactly what we were doing before it happened. You know it's the truth. Even though the devil is the prince of the power of the air, God allows him to do the things that will get our attention. But you know, we have a short attention span. Isn't that true? I don't want to negatively capitalize on what happened with a church shooting last week. My heart broke in many different ways for something like that to happen. People say, how can that happen? And we need to have more people there and have greater security. Really? Did it really get your attention? Did you feel a little bit better that we have a security team here and we got cameras going along and this type of thing? Is that really the issue? And I don't take anything away from those things. Those are wonderful measures that we're taking. We're doing the best that we can. But wouldn't you really like for your heart to come back to God like it should? And you know what? God can prophetically tell you ahead of time to prevent things from happening.
But we haven't been listening to God. We've been listening to ourselves. How many times did he warn the prophet, don't go there. Don't do this. And I want to tell you right now, every person who knows Jesus has the power of the Holy Spirit in them right now. And the reason why you get in trouble a lot of the times is because you are not listening to the Spirit of God. You're listening to your flesh doing what you want to do. Well, consider your ways. We must be aware of the things in our culture that are designed to move us away from the things of God. And all this other leisure, luxury, and has convinced us family time is more important than body fellowship. And I want you to understand what I'm saying here. I believe that we should have healthy, strong marriages and families. Amen, in Jesus' name. At the same time, I believe that because we've designed our lifestyles, that we don't have the time that we should have for the household of God. And so we're barely squeezing in enough time for our wife and our children because of the way we've scheduled our life. We just scheduled it out to the point where, well, let's see, I figured it out. We can make it to church twice a month. Every other month. And feel good about it. Yeah, we haven't seen you. Oh, well, this is not a month. I haven't seen you. Oh, we'll see you in 6 weeks. We'll be in the next rotation. Seriously? But that's how we think. I'm going to take you to this last scripture. I'm going to finish this up next week because there's too much stuff here and I don't want you to miss a bit of it. I want to take you to Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. It's not up there, but if she can find it real quick, that's fine. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Because I didn't give her this particular one, but I want you to think of this. They were coming to a place where Joshua was making some decisions. And I'll go back to verse 14. It says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Now here's the one that we all know the scripture real well, but here's how it goes. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. I'm going to stop right there. None of you, myself included, can walk out those doors without saying that we've made a decision of who we're going to serve. So, wait, well, I just need time. I'm going to give you time. 15 seconds. What? No, he said it this way. He says, this is how we do this. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You need to decide today who you're going to serve. Well, you know, I have that under advisement. And I'm kind of checking out my options. Worship team, come up here. Bail me out. Worship team, you can come on up here because I got a couple more things to say that was going to set us up for success. Well, listen to this. We've got to come to a place where we're really to make the choice. We must find pleasure and delight in obedience to build the house of the Lord. Haggai 1:12. This is the great piece. You got that Habakkuk 1:12? I'm sorry, I prematurely made her turn it off. Can you bring me? There we go. Then there's Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of Haggai, the prophet, as the Lord, their God, had sent them. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Let me stop there, because it's a good place for us to really come to the place of, do we fear the presence of the Lord? The word fear there is not the fact of terror. It's the fear of the fact of reverencing the presence of God. When we come to this place, when we come to this house, there's something amazing that God does. For some of you, the worship experience is new, and for others of you, it's kind of like, you know, we've been doing this for a while.
But consider your ways. Why do you do what you do, when you do it, and for whom you do it? Allow Jesus to take priority as he should in every area of your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Those who are intercessors, I want you to intercede right now, because God is going to help some people make some final determinations or direct determinations of where their life is going. As you're reflecting, as your heads are bowed, I want to give you some life focus. What was so difficult about the people in Haggai's day is they got into a routine. And they'd been back home for 16 years, and they probably told themselves the first year they were there, we're going to rebuild the house of God. Well, 16 years later, they'd done nothing. And you know what it's really about? It's really about procrastinating, putting it off. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it next week. I'm going to do it as soon as I get another job, as soon as my schedule clears out, and this type of thing. And it's still not done. I don't want you to leave here with condemnation. I want you to leave here with victory. Because God has said to many of you sitting in this room right now, today is the day for you to make a choice who's going to be first. And I'm going to pray a prayer that I believe will be a prayer of release from some of you to the old excuses that you've held on to of not really coming to Jesus and making him a priority. Listen to me as I pray, and then I'll give you an opportunity to respond. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, putting everything aside, you've been so good to us. You've taken care of us. You've rescued us. You've provided for us. And today we have an opportunity to make a choice as to who we're going to prioritize in our lives. But first of all, Lord, we have to ask you for forgiveness for all the things we know we should have done and we haven't done. But moving forward, God, today we want to make sure that we know that we've given everything over to you. Lord, your word says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. And Lord, help us to not pursue things, but to only to pursue the one thing, and that's to have a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything else will fall in place. And Lord, I want to rebuke off of people that are here right now, condemnation for not having made this decision before now. For everyone who feels like they're kind of wrapped into the idea of they felt like they were condemned and someone was just put their foot on their neck. Lord, I if that's the case here, Lord, I remove my foot from their neck and they can make a decision on their own. But right now, the love, the joy, and the peace that you've promised to every person that will submit to you is available right now. And every sin and commission of sin they've done will be forgiven. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now. It's not you, it's him. And since he's talking to you, I want to give you an opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. Do it now. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now and say, Pastor, that's me, and I know I need to take care of that right now. Just lift your hand up. If that's you, go ahead. That's right. Somebody else says, yep, that's me. Yep, go ahead. Just going to wait for a moment, because there's other people here that God's working on, and I'm not going to force anybody, but lift that hand up high where I can see it. I see someone over here. See someone over there in the back. And we're going to stand, and we're going to sing in just a moment. But when we stand and sing, I want you to come today with the expectation and the desire of saying, you know, God, I haven't done it right before now. But even though I made a commitment, I thought a while ago, today it's going to be different. Because I'm surrendering to your will, to your ways, and no longer mine. I ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Everyone stand to your feet. Those of you responding to Jesus, just step out right now. Don't wait for your neighbor. You step out. You let God do it.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.